Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. His love is extravagant, isn't it? When you think about his love, Jesus' friendship is intimate, isn't it? Like that song says, spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers our sin. No greater love have we ever known. And yet he considers us his friends. So my prayer is, capture our hearts again, Lord. Capture our hearts again this morning, Lord Jesus. All right, last Sunday, if you were here, we met in the cafeteria. But the Sunday before that, the message was titled, Can You Hear Me Now? Listening and hopefully hearing God's voice, listening well, and hearing clearly with all the static and confusion going on in the world today. We know, the Bible tells us, the sheep know the voice of their shepherds. Just like in the illustration I gave a couple weeks ago about the sheep, three different flock of sheep gathering, but they knew the voice of their shepherd and they followed him. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we need to know his voice and we need to hear his voice and we need to follow him and not anyone else. And his voice is all through the scriptures, so we know the Lord speaks to us through his written word. And Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus said that in Revelation chapter 2. And I believe we are in a time and we are in a place in our history as a nation where we need to have an ear. We need to have an ear to hear what Holy Spirit is saying to the churches today. And we need to listen closely because God is speaking, but is anyone being still long enough to hear him? Is anyone disconnecting from social media and our high-tech world long enough to truly have an ear to hear what God is saying? You know, listening to worship music and watching Christian programming and listening to Christian podcasts is great. You hear me? It's wonderful. It's great. I do it all the time, and I highly recommend it. Because there's way too much stuff out there that we shouldn't be listening to or we shouldn't be watching. But you know what? Even worship music and even Christian programming can interfere with our ability to hear God's voice. Sometimes I'll be in the car and I'll just put in a CD, a worship CD, and yet I'm thinking, wait a minute, let's just be still, let's be quiet. So I'll stop and just drive and talk to the Lord and listen and hopefully he'll speak something. Because he hears our voice, even when we don't want him to, right? How many besides me have said stuff we wish he didn't hear? Right? I'm not the only one, I know that. But isn't it amazing that our Creator, when you think of him as our Creator, the Creator of the entire universe, the King of the cosmos, actually wants to engage in dialogue with us. So I wanted to add a little to that message from 2 weeks ago and talk more about listening and about hearing God's voice this morning. So the title of this morning's message is Can You Hear Me Now? Part 2. And we're going to look at a verse in Jeremiah 33, Hebrews chapter 1, Amos chapter 8. So Lord, open your word to us now. We're talking about speaking and hearing your voice and you speak all through the scripture, so give us ears to hear this morning what your spirit is speaking to us here at Joy. Amen. Now we know the prophet Jeremiah shared this word from God where he said, you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. That alone is incredible. I will listen to you. That's Jeremiah 29:12. And then there's this amazing promise a few chapters later. We looked at 2 weeks ago in Jeremiah 33. Remember what God promises us in verse 3? Look at this again. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. God says, call to me and I will answer you. Not maybe. Maybe if I'm not too busy, I might answer you. No, he says, if you call to me, I will answer you. And I'll tell you great things. I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. You can't look them up. Google can't help you. Siri can't help you. But I will tell you these things if you call to me. What an incredible privilege that we've been giving, that God is never, ever too busy for you and me. What a promise from the promise keeper. We're often promise breakers, but he's the promise keeper. Whoever has an ear, he says, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Oh, that you would give us an ear this morning, Lord, right here, right now. Now, these aren't on the screen, but just listen to some of these verses from the book of Psalms. One says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. Another one says, his ears are open to their cries for help. Another one says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. And the list goes on and on and on. So he hears us when we speak. But it can't be a one-way conversation. He wants us to be still long enough to hear him. He wants us to shut off the distractions to hear and listen to him when he speaks. In Psalm 81, God says, oh, that my people would listen to me. He's talking about us, talking about the church, not the people who are sleeping in this morning. If my people would only listen to me, who knows how many blessings we have forfeited because we didn't listen to him, because we chose to do our own thing instead of his. Because we chose to do things our way instead of his way. He said, oh, that my people would only listen to me. You know, in Jeremiah, it reads, this is what the Lord says. Another place in Jeremiah, it says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Another place in Jeremiah, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Another one says, these are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel. Over and over, Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. God is speaking, but is anyone really listening? Anyone really hearing him? Sometimes when we do cry out, and then we do get still, and we do listen, and we listen, and we listen, and we listen some more, sometimes, maybe most of the times, it seems like heaven is silent. Right, but we need to remember that a delay in an answer doesn't always mean a denial, right? The key to listening for God's voice isn't some kind of formula. We can't tell him when to speak. We can't tell him how to speak. Oftentimes in our prayers, we're telling him the best way he can accomplish what we're asking for, right? But we need to put ourselves in a position. We need to put ourselves in an atmosphere where we can hear him when he does speak. I hope that makes sense. God has always spoken to his people. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and we're part of that inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. Wow. God spoke many times and in many ways through the prophets. All through the Old Testament, we see God speaking through his prophets. And in the Gospels, we see God speaking through Jesus. And today, God is speaking through Holy Spirit. He also speaks through angels and visions and dreams and promptings, impressions. He spoke to Elijah on the side of a mountain in a gentle whisper. And we know God spoke through miraculous signs and wonders, too. The walls of Jericho, the parting of the Red Sea. The Bible's full of examples of how he speaks. And it wasn't to show off. It was to make his point that he was the one true God in a world full of false gods. How God spoke in the Bible, I don't think is as important as the fact that he did speak. And he continues to speak. And the people he spoke to knew it. They knew it was God, and they knew what he said. And he's still speaking through miraculous signs and wonders. And he's speaking to us in whispers, in gentle whispers, in dreams and visions. He speaks through angels. He speaks through people today. Sometimes he'll speak to a person through a two-year-old, a three-year-old. I remember once Bobby was having a rough day. She was taking care of Lily. Lily had just been born. But Violet was like 2 and a half. And Bobby was not saying much, but Violet goes into her bedroom and brings out one of those golden books, and it had the little girl on the cover. It was the Lord's Prayer. It's like, here, Nana. I was like, wow. And Bobby just had tears. Says, thank you, Lord. It took this 2 and a half-year-old to show me, hang in there. And he does stuff like that all the time. We can learn a lot from a 2 and a half-year-old. But we need to have a real discerning spirit when it comes to modern-day prophets, especially the self-appointed ones. I mean, be careful around people who say, thus saith the Lord. If I ever say that, smack me, because I don't think I've ever said that. But, you know, I know God speaks, okay? But I know there are a lot of phonies out there claiming to speak for God. And I know there's false prophets giving false prophecies because we've lived through some of them. So let's not dismiss a true word from the Lord because we're so skeptical, whether it's from God or from man. That's where we need discernment. God will give us discernment. That's why we need to know the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus. It's like that verse Hebrews says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors. He still speaks many times and in many ways to his people today, but do we have an ear to hear him? The Bible tells us all scripture is God-breathed. So he speaks to us through his word. In fact, most of the time, that's how he speaks to us, is through his word. In fact, if someone is sharing a true word from the Lord, it's going to line up with scripture. If someone claims to give you a word that conflicts with the scriptures, throw it out. Throw it out. But keep in mind, not every prophetic word is going to be right on the money every time. Because I'm talking about the spiritual gift of prophecy, not the office of a prophet. There's a difference. And the Bible tells us, for we only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. So we're not completely there yet, right? Perfection hasn't come yet. Jesus hasn't returned yet. So we need wisdom, and we need discernment, and we need an ear to hear. We need an ear to hear our good shepherd, because there are some not so good shepherds leading flocks astray. And even though all scripture is God-breathed, sometimes God gives a specific word for a specific purpose to a specific person at a specific time. And it's usually unique to the individual receiving it. That's how personal our God is. It's not just a blanket statement. Sometimes he does that. It's for everybody. We know it's for everybody. Some things we don't need to pray about. It's obvious. Okay. But sometimes the word is to be shared corporately, like here. Somebody has a word for the church, and it's not personal opinion, but it's from God. And if you get a word or you have a dream or an impression about me or my family or about Joy Christian Fellowship, I want to hear about it. 2 weeks ago, a friend who used to worship with us here 3-4 years ago shared a dream they had about me. Now, I haven't seen this person or talked to them since before COVID, so it's at least 3 years, maybe 4 years. But the dream made sense to me. It spoke to something that I had going on. So I appreciate stuff like that. So, hey, yeah, if you have one, share it. If I have one about you, I'll let you know. But sometimes when God speaks in whatever way he chooses, sometimes it's a word just for you. Doesn't need to be shared with anybody, just for you. Or it doesn't need to be shared yet, right? It may have to marinate for a while. But a specific word for a specific purpose to a specific person is usually unique to the person God is speaking to. Remember Moses and his burning bush encounter? Abraham didn't have a burning bush encounter, did he? Isaac didn't have a burning bush encounter, did he? Neither did Jacob, David, Adam and Eve. If they did, Moses could have thought, oh, well, this is my burning bush encounter. Everybody else gets one. I guess this one's mine. No, the burning bush was very unique to Moses. Now, if something like that were to happen to somebody today, they'd probably write a book or start a podcast entitled My Burning Bush Encounter and How You Can Have One Too. So God speaks in many different ways. I felt he answered me one night with a shooting star. So I wrote a book about my shooting star experience. No, I didn't write a book. But maybe you're listening to this talk about God speaking to his people and his people hearing his voice, and you're thinking, man, I never hear from God. As far as I know, God has never spoken anything unique to me. I know he speaks to me all through his word, but I don't think he's ever spoken anything unique to me. Well, we have to be ourselves, we have to ask ourselves and be honest, are we really desiring to hear from him? I mean, what if he says something we don't want to hear? What if he points out something in our life that needs a change, but we don't want to change? How important is this to us? Are we pursuing encounters with God, or are we more interested in pursuing the pleasures the world offers? Because that stuff can be fun, but that stuff can also hinder the lines of communication with God. Happened to the Israelites over and over again. It can surely happen to us. And there was a guy in the Bible by the name of Amos. He wasn't a prophet like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel. He was a shepherd, but he took care of fig trees, the Bible says. But God gave Amos a vision, and he used Amos to prophesy judgment against all the surrounding nations around the Jewish nation. Now, this is back when the Jewish nation was still a divided kingdom. Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel was the northern kingdom. And Amos lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. And the people in the northern kingdom were probably cheering him on when they heard him declaring judgment against all the other nations for all the social injustice, for all the evil they were engaged in. The rich were oppressing the poor. And just there was flat-out refusal to follow God's command. And God hates injustice. And while Moses is prophesying judgment against Israel's neighbors, the Israelites are probably cheering him on. You go, Amos. Let them have it, buddy. They deserve to be punished. But then Amos turned to the people of Israel, turned to God's people. And he began to prophesy God's judgment on them for their sin and their rebellion. Israelites weren't cheering for Amos now. Many of the conditions in Israel during Amos's time are evident in today's society. People were living a very comfortable life of luxury, self-sufficiency, false sense of security. People became prosperous and greedy and treated the poor unjustly. And God is so tired of greedy people claiming that they know him. Remember, we're talking about listening. We're talking about hearing God's voice. Well, let's look what Amos prophesies to the Israelites in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." That God is going to send a very peculiar famine. Because when I think of famine, I think no food, no water, no crops. Everything's drying up, which is very tragic. But the famine that God was going to send here, it's a more destructive one. It doesn't strike at the stomach of his people. It strikes at their heart. It strikes at the spirit of his people. This kind of famine can cause the very fabric of a society to unravel. But notice, he doesn't say it'll be a famine of the words of the Lord, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. That's what we're talking about, listening and hearing. It's not a famine of the words, but it's a famine of hearing the word. Because God's word was still available, but it'll be rare that his words will be heard, kind of like today. God's truth was still going to be available. However, God will cause his truth not to be heard. This hearing, it's far more than just being aware of words and concepts and principles. This is a hearing that includes focused, careful attention that, if it were followed to its logical conclusion, would lead to obedience and faithfulness. But this is an unusual judgment. A physical famine of food and water, everyone would recognize as a tragedy. I mean, you take food and water away from me, that's a tragedy, right? But this famine of hearing the words of the Lord probably wouldn't immediately be recognized as a real tragedy. A famine of hearing the truth might seem like a relief to many, because then there's no voice calling them into accountability. There's no voice giving divine direction or correction. There's no voice prompting anyone to think about things like holiness and purity and obedience, or even to think about eternity. Even though this famine may give the impression that a burden has been lifted, the reality is, without divine instruction, a nation will wander and stagger and eventually wander towards destruction, because eventually our self-sufficiency will carry us only so far. Hearing the words of the Lord is a blessing, but God has every right to withdraw that blessing, just as he had every right to withhold the rain and send a drought when the people stubbornly lived in disobedience to him. Enduring a famine of hearing God's words, people may be vaguely aware that something's off, something's wrong, things aren't working out like they used to, life has more disappointments, life has more struggle, there's more pain, but we don't make the connection between our hardships and our spiritual deafness. I hope that makes sense. See, without hearing God's words for guidance and direction, we're like the blind man in Deuteronomy 28. It says, stumbling around and not comprehending why he keeps falling. Just clueless, blind. Let's look at the next verse, verse 12. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. This verse describes people wandering about in a vain attempt to regain the word of the Lord. Some of them seem to realize something's missing. They're staggering around, or they're wandering, searching for the word, but they don't find it. See, part of the reason could be they're unwilling to look in the right place. That's part of the problem with people today. They say they're looking for truth, but they're unwilling to look in the right place. Notice where they're looking, and notice where they're not looking here. They stagger from sea to sea. I don't know for sure what that means, but if you were to look at a map of the divided kingdom, right, Israel in the north, Judah in the south, sea to sea probably means the Mediterranean Sea on one side and the Dead Sea on the other, from one body of water to the other, sea to sea, kind of like coast to coast. To us, it'd be like the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans. From sea to sea, that would pretty much be east to west on the map of this divided kingdom. Are you still okay with that? That would be east to west? All right. So they're looking east to west, and the verse says from north to east. So what direction's left out? South, right? If we got north, east, and west, and they're looking there, they're not looking south. Now, Amos is prophesying to the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And when Israel broke from Judah, dividing the kingdom, King Jeroboam of the northern kingdom of Israel, he feared that Israel would want to reunite with Judah. Why? Well, Judah was where Jerusalem was. What was in Jerusalem? The temple. Who was in the temple? God. Now, we know God is omnipresent, but to the Old Testament Jew, the temple was a symbol of God's presence. That's where you went to hear his voice. That's where you went to be in his presence, the temple. So good old King Jeroboam, he's saying, well, I don't want that to happen. So he devised his own religious system, which successfully led the 10 northern tribes into idolatry. He appointed his own priesthood. He even established his own feast days. And he even created his own worship centers, taking away the need for the northern Israelites to travel south to Judah, to Jerusalem, to the temple, to God. So as a result, the people wandered, and they searched, but they were unwilling to go south, unwilling to go where they actually needed to go, to Jerusalem, to the temple, to God, right? To a certain degree, they wanted the truth, but they weren't hungry enough for it, that they would make any real sacrifice for it. A lot of people in the church like that today. They wanted the truth, but not if they had to humble themselves and go to the temple where God was. And as a result, they could not find the words of the Lord again, not where they were. And the same process has happened in America. Right? We'd like to think of our nation as a Christian nation, but the reality is, it's really not. Maybe you've heard of the Barna Group. They do all kinds of interviews and surveys for Christians and Christianity. And some years back, they did this. And it was thousands and thousands of people in America, just Americans. I've mentioned this before. And they said, would you consider yourself a Christian? 74% of the people they interviewed said yes. They checked the box, yes, I'm a Christian. That's 3 out of 4, 74%. Then they started asking more questions about biblical principles and about what God's word says and about what Jesus says. And are you living by this command? Are you obeying this? Are you going wrong with the world stuff? Now, these are people that said they were Christians, but when they tallied up all the other survey questions, the more direct questions, only 4% had a biblical worldview. 4%. That's not a Christian nation. 74% said they're a Christian, only 4% were living like one, according to the Bible. Oh, man. See, in the beginning of our nation, God's word was held in very high regard. This nation was founded on biblical principle. They were considered essential to the success and the growth of this new republic. But by the mid-1800s, secular humanism began creeping into the larger culture. And gradually, the words of the Lord were being edged out of the picture. And with each succeeding generation, there was a more diminished regard for the Word of God. This nation began with a president, George Washington, who wholeheartedly believed and boldly proclaimed, it's impossible to govern rightly the world without God and the Bible. This is the President of the United States saying this. It's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. When was the last time you heard that coming out of the White House? But what happened? What George Washington declared, what happened? Over time, people turned away from God's principles. They rebelled. They disobeyed, just like the Israelites. They rejected God's words, stopped believing. There's a guy by the name of Gil Chesterton. He's an English writer, journalist, wrote about Christian apologetics. He said, when people stop believing in God, they do not believe in nothing. They believe in anything, right? Something will fill our belief void. Even atheism is a belief system. It's terribly misguided, but it's a belief system. So over the years, we've seen a rapid growth in secular humanism, Eastern religions, Islam, Wicca, the New Age movement, all this stuff. In fact, Christianity is becoming so weak in Great Britain, more people attend a mosque each week instead of a church. The words of the Lord are not being heard. And while some may still be searching for truth, are they willing to seek out the true spiritual temple that can actually provide nourishment for their spirit? We have no excuse for not knowing the Word of God. All right, let's look at the next verse, verse 13. Beautiful girls and strong young men will grow faint in that day, meaning when there was a famine of the Word, thirsting for what? Thirsting for the Lord's word. And those who worship and swear by the shameful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the name of the God of Dan, that's not Dan Whitlock, Dan was one of the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, and make vows in the name of Beersheba, listen to this, they will all fall down, never to rise again. Do you see who the first victims of this famine of hearing will be? The young people. The young women, the young girls, the young men. See, they're more susceptible because if their parents weren't hearing the words of the Lord and they weren't teaching their children the words of the Lord, then they failed to provide a solid foundation of truth. Because little ones only know what the older generation has taught them until they reach an age where they start searching for truth on their own. That's why I'm so glad to see our young parents raising their young children by biblical principles instead of the worldly standards out there. You're pursuing other resources to raise your kids God's way, and I applaud you for that. It's hard, but it's worth it. Because with anything even remotely Christian being banned from our most public schools and being ridiculed in the media, and even churches, some are neglecting God's word, our young people are being supplied with a very weak diet of truth. I mean, God created us with a spiritual capacity, and our minds will just naturally crave something to interest us, to fill us, to give us answers. And if the words of the Lord are not sustaining the young people of a nation, something else will. Something else will. We see materialism is firmly entrenched in those fertile minds. They're being targeted and bombarded all the time. Our young people are being fed all day, but they're being starved of the truth. Okay? Let me repeat. That's worth repeating. Our young people are being fed all day long, but they're being starved of the real truth contained in God's word. And this verse 14 of this passage in Amos should really be sobering to us. So let's not just read over it. Look at verse 14 again. And those who worship and swear by the shameful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the name of the God of Dan and make vows in the name of the God of Beersheba, listen to this, they will all fall down, never to rise again, due to a famine of hearing. Not hearing the words of the Lord. They will fall down, never to rise again. Now, our idols are different today, but the end result will be the same. Due to a famine of hearing, of not hearing the words of the Lord. And this verse describes those who are so adamantly committed to their idolatry. Don't tell me how to live my life, Bob. I'm not. God's word is. These people are so spiritually sick from malnourishment, they will fall never to rise again. That's how bad off they are. That should be sobering. That should wake us up to the seriousness of what a famine of hearing the words of the Lord can lead to. Just like when they tried to shut all the churches down, right? The strip clubs were open, the tattoo parlors were open, the churches had to be closed. That's why we need an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's why we need to spend more time in His Word and less time watching TV or entertaining ourselves. That's why we need to position ourselves in a place where, so that when God does speak, we'll hear Him. He or she who has an ear, let them hear. See, we need to realize what God has to say is so much more important than what we have to say. Things don't change when I talk to God. Things change when God talks to me. When I talk, nothing happens. But when God talks, the whole universe comes into existence, right? He just spoke it all into existence. So I think the real power of our prayers is found not in convincing God of our agenda and wanting Him to get on board with us, but the real power of our prayers is in waiting on Him. Oh, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? I know. waiting on him to hear his agenda. His plans are so much better than ours. Like I said earlier, the key to hearing God's voice isn't some kind of formula. It takes practice. It takes discipline. It takes patience, but oh, it's so worth it. You know, most of the time when I'm being still, it's not often, but when I am, and I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm just listening, and I'm listening, and I'm listening, most of the time, I come away with unfulfilled longings. I come away with unanswered prayers. I come away with incomplete understanding. And that can be so discouraging and disappointing. But then comes one of those times when it seems heaven opens up and it seems like heaven leans over and God speaks a word directly into your heart and you know it. And you know it's from him. He breathes upon a scripture that you've read hundreds of times and makes it personal to your need at that time. And I know many of you have experienced that. Because how many times when you read your daily devotions, and I hope you do have a daily devotion time, but that daily devotion, you might have read it 5 years ago. But on that morning, that day, it's right on the money for what's going on in your life. Bobby will tell me all the time. She says, listen to this. I've read this every year for the last 7 years. But today, it's right on the money. See, when God speaks the word into your heart, into your spirit, that moment is worth all the asking, all the seeking, all the knocking you've been doing for all those other days when you heard nothing. And I can put up with all those times when heaven seems silent if he'll speak just one creative word from his mouth into my spirit, won't you? Man. And for all the times we sit in silence and he doesn't speak, that time wasn't wasted. Don't think of it as that was a waste of time. We didn't miss something. We didn't fail to connect. We've done our part. We're showing up. So, okay, Lord, I've got 10 minutes. Before the baby wakes up, before the school bus comes by, before I got to do this, before I have to go there, I got 10 minutes. I'm just going to sit in silence. I'm going to shut the TV off. I'm not going to look at my phone. We got to put ourselves in position so that when God chooses to speak, we're found listening, right? Not distracted. That's hard. I know that's hard. We're all busy. We're all doing stuff that we got to get done. But we all want God to listen to us. I know I sure do. And the Bible tells us he does. But like I said, back in Psalm 81, God said, oh, that my people would listen to me. I wish they would listen to me. But you got to be able to hear someone before you can listen to them, right? And I know there's so much distraction out there. So Lord, help us have a heart like the psalm writer in Psalm 85, verse 8. I'm going to close with this. It's not on the screen. Just listen to the psalm writer here. He says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. Man, without peace, it's hard for anything else to make sense. But let them not return to their foolish ways. Let me repeat that again. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. Amen to that, huh? Whew, okay. That's all I got. Let's pray. If you'll stand, if you're able, I want to say a closing prayer. If you want prayer for something, I'll pray with you. Pray for somebody else. If you feel the Lord is shown you something, given you a word for something, and it's to be shared, let me know. If it's just for you, hang on to it. Pray over it. Lord, thank you. This world's a rough place. It's a tough place. It shouldn't surprise us. Your word clearly tells us. I believe we're in those last days, Lord, and I don't know what else has to happen before you say, that's enough. That's enough, son. Go get your bride. And we want to be ready. We don't want to debate or argue over it. We want to be ready. So may we be found faithful to what you're calling us to be as individuals, as married couples, as families, as a church family. May we be found faithful for the plans and the purposes you have for us, because they're unique. We may not have a burning bush experience, but you have a unique purpose for us. Sometimes I feel like we're just barely scratching the surface, and you got so much more if we would just continue to pursue you. Help us, Lord, where we get discouraged, encourage us, lift us up, where we get weary of running this race, where we don't seem to see any results, any tangible results from our efforts, and just what we're doing, whether it's at work, at home, at church, wherever it is. Lead, guide, and direct us this morning, Lord. Oh, give us ears to hear the words of the Lord speaking to the church this morning. We don't want a famine of not hearing your words. Because if that happens, we'll just dry up. Or we'll jump ship and be like the rest of the world. We don't want that either, Lord. We want to be found faithful to what you're calling us to be. We want to hold your word high in high regard. I pray again that this nation, instead of being a 4% nation, will go back to that 74, 75, 80, 90%. That this nation will be a nation where you are king, not the other things of this world, not the gods that this world is running after, serving, worshiping. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us today. You're so good to us. Bless everyone here today, the families that are represented, the ones that are usually here that hopefully when summer's over, school's back in session, we'll see more of them. But we're thankful for this day you've given us, Lord. Let us not squander any part of this day you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.